This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
Is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, give them the number. They need it.
1-800-919-3776.
And if they can't get through because the lines are always jammed, where do they go on social media?
You catch that Bart and Han on the Twitter.
Where else?
And then you can catch us on Instagram at Bart and Han.
Yep. We going anywhere else there?
Snapface, instant chat.
No, we're not doing any of that stuff. Here's what we're also not going to do. As we watch the Giants Monday Night Football, they lose 26-16 to the Steelers. It's still a really good Steelers team. Like, this is a really, really good Steelers team that we knew about. We knew their defense was going to be tough. Big Ben, it took him a minute to get the rust off, and once he did, he looked like the same old Big Ben we knew about. That offense, what they've got. Smith-Schuster has become a star, and what a big play he made on the fumble recovery, by the way. I mean, talk about awareness and hustle. You love seeing that out of players like that at skill positions. So many things that happened in that game for the Steelers make you feel good about what they can be in the AFC.
Alan. See, I'm sorry.
But what we're not going to do.
I lost you, Alan. I lost your FaceTime because somebody called me on the phone. As soon as I was looking at your beautiful face.
There he is.
I got bubbles on my damn screen. What I'm going to say is, and I know you were about to say it, but damn it, I'm going to say it because I gave this team a chance, right? I was optimistic. I said, this Giants team, I said, listen, if they go to playoffs, they got talent, all that stuff, right? But then I got to listen to all the shows before ours, and I got to hear all this Giant slander, all this Jet slander. And listen, I'm not here for it. So what do you do when somebody attacks your family member? You come back at them. And what we're not going to do, and what we realized yesterday, yes, that the – That Daniel
the Jets
Jones,
are in Barney. They're
no,
in Barney.
No, no, no.
And we
what
know
I'm
this.
Saying, but what I'm saying is my point is Daniel Jones doesn't suck. The Giants team may suck. How about that? Let's just put that out there, then. Since y'all want to go with all this slander against the Jets, last I checked, the Giants were the organization in town that had the worst record over football over the last 5 years. So, listen, I was going to come here and I was going to be glass half full guy. Mm-hmm. But I got to listen to all this slander all day from these Giant fans that wants to compare the Giants and Jets. Meanwhile, I thought we were in the AFC and they were in the NFC, but you guys want to stand on our backs and push us down to lift yourselves up. Thanks a lot. Congratulations. Saquon Barkley is not a transcendent talent.
Oh, you're going there? I'm going to start it like this. Last night, I thought the Giants were playing the Steelers. Why then today is all the conversation how the Giants compare to the Jets? I thought the Jets were the little brother. I thought the Jets weren't even in your league. They weren't even at your level. I thought the Jets, like every time Giants fan look at Jets fan with disdain, it's almost like, oh, that's cute. You root for a Jets team. Well, I root for an NFL team. Right? Like that's the whole thing. But yet, all I'm hearing today is now you're using the Jets as your comparison. Hey, we're not as bad as the Jets. Daniel Jones is better than Sam. We didn't look as bad as the Jets did. Is that where you are right now, Giants fans? This ain't about your team. This is about you. Yeah, you, all of you out there, all of you. All you're going to tweet at me now, this show sucks. Give DiPietro Candy Rothenberg another hour because that show sucks. This show sucks. Yeah, it sucks. You know why? Because you don't like what you're hearing from us and we're giving you the truth. Look at yourself in the mirror right now. You spent the whole day yesterday watching that game, especially that first half. And Daniel Jones looked good at times. He also looked like Daniel Jones normally looks, turning the ball over. Saquon, once again, it's the offensive line's fault, not the kid's fault. The kid's got talent. The offensive line, once again, their major issue for this Giants team. Major issue. Continues to be. All right? Joe Judge is a new coach. Hard to judge anything that he did because the execution was so poor at the line of scrimmage. But come on, man. You're going to now spend the day telling me that you feel good about the Giants because they don't look as bad as the Jets. Think about where you are right now as a fan, that you use the Jets as your line of demarcation. At least we're not as bad as the Jets. That's where you are. To me, that's embarrassing. Your team's not bad. They look like they have a plan, and they look like, in time, with some more adjustments and obviously some improvements at areas, offensive line being one of them, they could be a good team in the future. And that division certainly gives you opportunity. But to spend today glorifying a performance where you lost by 10.
Couldn't score from the 1 yard line.
Where your running back that you used a second overall pick for had 6 yards in 15 carries. Fold down and go 6 yards.
You can multiply that by pi and you still don't got 50 yards.
We weren't going to do that. This is what I mean, and this is what bothers me about New York. The headlines that tell you how the Giants... I'm reading this, two different headlines in the Post. Both guys I love, too. I love Vac. And the Giants showed like they belong. And then Paul Schwartz. Giants were outclassed. which is it? Which is it? Outclassed or do they belong? I don't know. But all I know is this. If you want to do the comparison, both teams played really good defenses. Both teams lost by 10. Both teams had turnovers at the worst time. And both quarterbacks who were young had interceptions that were like the gut punch backbreakers. That were like that you knew was a turning point of the game.
19
and both scored
drive.
Touchdowns late that had nothing to do with anything. So I dare you, because this is all the time you're going to get. Because guess what? We're going at the bottom of the hour. We're going back to the Jets. Because Frank Gore is going to join us at 11:30. And we got to talk to the new starting running back for the Jets. So we're going to chat with Frank Gore. And then at noon, we've got Jay Will, and we're going to talk NBA. Because we got a Game 7 today, Bart.
We
got a Game 7. And your Clippers are on
the...
You are hanging on by a thread. And I dig that about you, babe.
You set me up for the butt.
And we do have an Islanders, a critical game for the Islanders to stay alive somehow in this series with the Lightning. We've got that. There's a lot going on. The Yankees play the Blue Jays, a 3-game set. They've got 7 left against the Blue Jays with their chance to lock up a playoff spot and get us to stop worrying like we were only a week ago, feel better about things. Oh, and the Mets officially have the owner that everybody's been waiting for in Steve Cohen.
Money, 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 money.
Well, I mean, official that he's got the deal. Now, of course, he's got to get voted in, which it sounds like he's going to. But anyway, there's so much to get to. This is sports nirvana. This is everything. This is what we wanted. The overload we were asking for. But I am not going to tolerate what I've been hearing this morning on our airwaves.
Yeah.
And also on social media, in the newspapers. The way it works here in New York is incredible. Certain teams get a certain type of coverage. Other teams get the other type of coverage. You know it, and I know it. And I'm here to stop it. I'm here to stop it. Because it's embarrassing if you're a Giants fan. And you're telling me that what you saw last night makes you feel good because, quote, we're not as bad as the Jets, end quote.
You should be worried
That's
about it.
Where you are right now.
You should be worried about if you as bad as Washington. Are you as bad as Washington? Because that smoke is coming pretty soon too. So don't worry about that. Because guess what? You passed up on that. Well, you didn't pass up on that player, but you had an opportunity to do something better. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying. My takes ain't even making no sense or nothing. That's how pissed off I am. Because here I am. I was a glass half full guy.
We like the team.
We like the team. It's about these arrogant ass fans.
Yes.
That thinks that, okay, you know, we're better than Jets, so all is well. Really? That's your measuring stick? I thought you guys were the New York Football Giants, proud organization.
No. Now we can. Now your comparison is we're not as bad as the Jets.
You should be saying, I'm not as bad as the Browns, because that's the records which you had records like the last 5 years. More L's. You know how Shannon says he's third about hot L's. More hot L's than any other team outside the Cleveland Browns in the last 5 years. How about that?
The conversation shouldn't be even about any other team but your team. Right? I mean, you know, like, look within. There's enough there to keep you busy. Trust me. Because if I'm frustrated as hell about Saquon Barkley getting hit behind the line of scrimmage in 11 of his 15 carries. Behind the line of scrimmage in 11 of 15 carries. What does that tell you? Wait. I used the number two overall pick for this guy, passing in the quarterback draft of all quarterback drafts. And I get this guy, and then I tell myself, I'm just going to piecemeal an offensive line together. Now, yes, you finally used a first-round pick on an offensive lineman who, as I think Andrew Thomas is all right. Sorry, so you have a first-round pick there. But aside from that, and I love Will Hernandez, by the way. I love Will Hernandez, but the rest of that line is just, you've got problems there. How are you going to use a number two pick for a running back and then not prioritize the offensive line?
If you want to keep it a buck, if you want to keep it a buck or keep it a hundred, if that's what we're doing today, Mekhi Becton looked better than Andrew Thomas. How about that? Let's keep it a buck right there.
We got to get Baldinger on the show. If you follow Brian Baldinger on Twitter.
Yes, let's keep it a buck right there.
He had a fantastic breakdown of Becton. I mean, a lot of guys did. Actually, Jeff Schwartz did, too. Like, a fantastic breakdown of just how Becton was destroying people on the line.
So let's keep it a buck that way.
Baldinger also
too.
Pointed out something that Sam missed, too. It just made me crazy. But anyway, I want to hear from the Giants fans, because you guys need to tell me why the Jets are in your mouth today. That's what I want to know. Like, why?
Phrasing?
Well, it's true. It's true. That's what you're doing. 800-919-3776. And you know what, Bart? Who better to start off with than our good friend, Tessa from West Caldwell? Come on, Tess.
I never met Tessa. I never met Giants Listen, Tessa. I never met
sure
Giants
did.
Tessa.
You sure didn't. So, first of all, Alan, you know my voice is like this from yelling at the game yesterday. I'm going to be honest with you, Alan. I would never stop listening to y'all's show. Y'all my favorite show in the whole world. I would never stop listening to it. But I'm going to tell you right now, both of y'all this morning, y'all done made my day. Y'all such salty mad because y'all are still trash. I wasn't even going to mention the Jets because I'm so thirsty like right now. But y'all both are so mad that now y'all trying to turn it on a Giants fan. Oh, you guys supposed to be the big brothers. Why are you even bringing our name? You know why? Because at the end of the day, everything you said about the stats is true. Saquon looked like trash. Danny Dimes was like, oh my God, what are you doing? But you know, we still better than y'all. Y'all are trash. Sam Darnold's not a baby no more.
Go
He's
after
playing
the last
like
5 years.
You're
Tessa.
Trash, and that's why
Tessa.
You're trash. Did
Tessa.
We play like trash? Yup. But so what? We're still better than y'all. I wasn't even going to bring the Jets to the Jets for today. But y'all two are, listen, y'all are Jet Station. You are Jets. All y'all do is talk about Jets. Talk about Allen's a fan, and you a former player. No, what? The Giants fans don't say nothing about that.
No, that's
y'all
because. That's because I didn't want to talk about criminal role.
Y'all so mad. If y'all would have won, y'all wouldn't care what we say today. If y'all would have won or played half decent, you wouldn't care what the Giants fans got to say. But since you lost, it looked like garbage.
Hang on. Bud Dupree just got into the backfield again. I'm sorry. Right in the middle of this call, Bud Dupree was in the backfield again. It's amazing. He's waiting at Daniel Jones' locker, I think.
Who's going to get her? Who's going to get a rain today?
Listen, all I know is this. You want something, you want to keep it 100, you want to keep it a buck, all that stuff like that. I'm keeping it real. We in dire, terrible rebuild mode. If we can get 5 wins this year, I'm going to be happy. That's
how?
All I'm saying. But all I'm saying, you said how? We were playing this. I don't care. Oh, Big Ben got rushed. Y'all making excuses for him. It took a long time to get it together. I don't care. And if to go 19 plays on that defense, that right there was all I need to know. Like, okay, we might win 4 games.
That was death by a thousand paper cuts.
I felt like y'all yesterday watching our team. I tried to get good.
Tessa, you should have felt like that the last 5 years watching that team.
No, it's 3 years, first of all. It's 3 years we've been trash. It's 3 years. Get it right.
Okay,
Jets
okay,
fans,
you've been garbage
player,
for five.
But let me tell you something. No,
trash
you're crazy
for
garbage for five. You crazy.
Remember, Ben McAdoo had that 1 year when then the banana boat happened.
Okay, then
remember that year.
Thank you. And then we had the year when we had Barkley, Odell, all of them together, and we thought we were going to do something. That's when we went 0-6. All I'm saying is this: I wasn't going to bring the Jets fans. I had all my statistics ready to go, ready to roll. But both of y'all are such haters and so mad. You know what? I was in the same boat yesterday, but I never one time said nothing about the Jets. Y'all gonna come here and say what you're not going to tolerate? Come on, knock it off. Y'all been trash. We are the big brothers. Y'all just happy we trash too right now, but we not going to stay trash. Joe Judge is the best freaking coach than Adam Gase any day of the week. We gonna be all right.
Greg Williams is a
Love
better
you,
coach than whoever your defensive coordinator is. Hot trash.
Man, I'm telling you.
Saquon Barkley. How you get .4 rush?
We love Tessa, but she just made the point for me. You can't help it. You can't help it. Look at your team and focus on your team and how your team.
What
the fact that you're comparing yourself to the Jets. tells me that you know you're really, like, you're just as far away as the Jets are. You both play in an awful building. Awful. I had to look at SoFi Stadium out in L.A.
That's what $2 billion get you here?
Man. Like, I thought, like, this is football. This is football here. Is that now all of a sudden it's, hey, at least we're better than the Jets. My God. How the mighty have fallen. How the mighty have fallen. Let's go. Let's see. Who else we got, man? Carmine in New Brunswick wants some smoke. Go ahead,
Carmine. We want all that smoke. What you got, Carmine?
Oh, man. First off, I'm a huge fan of both of you guys, but I heard 5 minutes of this, and I just had to chime in. Listen. Offensively, the Giants and the Jets are night and day, all right? What's Sam Darnold's excuse? This is his third year in the league. You guys have had the same coach for what?
What's Saquon's excuse? This is his third year in the league. What's his damn excuse? .4 yard rushing? You couldn't fall forward for a positive yard? Take off the damn earring and quit acting like LT and be yourself.
We went against a top five defense and the Giants were great.
Hey, and the Buffalo Bills are what? Hold up. The Buffalo Bills are what?
Buffalo Bills aren't scrubs, man.
Buffalo Bills were top five. They were rated higher than the Steelers last year.
You're talking about a tough secondary to throw against, too. I mean, come on.
Honestly, I think that, like, the fact that Giants fans are comparing themselves to the Jets so much is because you guys are across the building. You guys are across the building. We're in the same city.
But what we got to do with it?
Do you exactly? You should be looking through the Jets. It's the New York Football Giants.
You should be making sure you're not as bad as Washington. Because guess what?
They don't even have a nickname. Man, they don't even have a nickname, and they're better than you. Don't even have a nickname.
Come on, I'm going to leave off with this. Tessa was right. You guys are haters of the Giants. At the end of the day, Daniel Jones is going to finish off better than Sam Darnold.
Okay,
thank you, Carmine. I appreciate it.
Let's make a bet.
No, we're not doing bets. You got one right now, and you're hanging on. You and Canton.
I was trying to forget about that one.
Yeah. I'm a warrior.
Let's not do any bets on anybody until we get that one settled.
It's a CMOS.
You know what I mean? We got a big game today for you. I'm rooting for you, by the way. We got a big game today for you. So we got to make sure that you're even in that moving forward. But you know what? It's basically Mets fans just got a new owner in Steve Cohen. Right, it's going to be official in November when they have the actual meeting, but the deal in principle is in place. And Steve Cohen has more money than everyone in sports, everyone. So the feeling is the game could change now with baseball. And Mets fans and Yankee fans now can get into that battle of, you know, okay, now that you're on even playing field when it comes to finances. Now you can legit start pointing like back and forth.
You're not on even playing field.
If you're a Yankees fan, like, I've been a Yankees fan since 1976, and I never, ever have said, hey, at least we're better than the Mets. Never have I said that. Never even thought about it. It was, are we better than the Red Sox? Like, are you better than those Astros? Can you beat the Astros? You only worried about those teams, the real rivals that you worry about at a time when once it was the Orioles. Like, that's the stuff you think about. You don't think about we're better than the Mets.
Yeah,
so if you're a Giants fan and you're saying, hey, we didn't look as bad as the Jets.
Yeah, I'm going to pull somebody.
Where the hell is your head right now? Think about it. All right, let's go. 800-919-3776. Paul's in Brooklyn. What do you think, Paul?
I think that the Giants fans that are crying that they're not as bad as the Jets are the same ones that say that the Yankees are, at least we're not that bad at the Mets. You can't compare the two teams. They're completely different. Different courses of action right now. Like, new coach to coach that's going to be gone. Like, it's completely different. You can't compare either of them. And the people that think you can are ridiculous. And the ones that are defending the Giants and saying you're Giant haters, you're just saying it real. Like, the Giants have a lot of problems. A lot, just like the Jets do. Just of course, like, people need to stop comparing each other because you can't.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate the call. Let's keep going here. Omar's in Washington, D.C. Omar.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Yo, I'm a little upset, man. Yo, Bart, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
When you was with the Jets, right, was y'all covering up the Giants Super Bowl every week for y'all games? Was y'all covering up all the memorabilia for the Giants Super Bowl titles and all that? Because
I don't
that would create a...
I don't know. I don't think so. We got two different entrances. I don't know. I didn't pay attention.
The stadium. They always change the stadium over because they want it to feel like it's your stadium. That's how.
I think Rex might have covered up everything.
Oh,
Giants
in the hallway.
Exactly. Yeah, in the hallway.
Yeah, that went down.
Yeah, yes. Our Super Bowl title is kind of this. So that creates rivalry and hostility there. On top of that, it takes the Jets almost a half. If you look at the numbers, every 40, 50 years they get a title. The Giants, every decade we're going to bring one home. Yeah, we're going to struggle, but every decade, if you look at the numbers, every 10 years, every decade for the last 40 years, the Giants have produced a title. That's why we got four. And every 40, 50 years, the Jets get one?
But we know that. I'll take it, Omar,
because that means we're due. You said every 50. We're due.
Yeah, but the thing is, that changes. That can change with a good team. That can change when the team gets in the window. Kansas City didn't win in 50 years. Looked like they're going to close that gap. They could get three or four or two or three, right? And then what are you going to be saying? Listen, this thing is a marathon, not a sprint, right? So, listen, teams can have their clusters. The thing is the Giants are just as far away from a title as the Jets. And that shouldn't be acceptable here if y'all want to be big brother. Remember, it was a time when y'all sucked as well, just like it was a time when the Yankees sucked, when it was a time that other teams sucked. But it's about the now, the present. It's about your lifetime, bro. And in your lifetime, look like they're not going to be doing nothing.
My point is, when did the Jets become your line of demarcation? When did it become your Mendoza line?
That makes them feel better about themselves.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When did that even happen? Like it used to be they were an afterthought. They weren't even, you didn't even consider the Jets. Now all of a sudden it's, hey, we're not as bad as it. Congratulations, okay, Alex and Clifton. Let's take one more, Bart. We have Frank Gore coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk something with him because the Jets have some issues they've got to get through, and we'll see what the veteran thinks. But let's get Alex and Clifton, one more. Alex.
Bart, Han, how you guys doing today?
Good, all right, man.
We're good.
Bart, I just wanted to say real quick, man, you are gold. You are absolutely gold, man. That left earring that you said about Saquon Barkley, stop being like Lawrence Taylor, that is classic, and that is amazing to hear something like that. As a Giants fan, let me just say something on behalf of a logical Giants fan. The fact that people are comparing, no offense to the Jets, to you guys.
Right, stand your own lane.
Same. That is crazy. No offense again, but you guys are like an afterthought to me. And now
we should be.
I'm not even offended by that, Alex. I'm not even offended by that.
Because you should farm your own land. You shouldn't be upset. That's just like when I was in Baltimore. We were 45 minutes away from the Redskins.
Thank you, Alex.
We ever made a comment or cared about what the hell the Redskins was doing in a whole nother division and we were only 45 minutes apart? Mm-mm. No, we can care less about that. That's that side. That's NFC. That's Washington. That got nothing to do with us. We weren't about us. We weren't about why we aren't better than the Steelers. We ain't worried about why we ain't better than somebody that's not in our division, not even in our conference. Come on, man. This is a bad day for Giants fans if this is the fact that this is the way that they're going to make themselves feel better because this was supposed to be a better year. You guys made the move. You've had Gettleman here for a couple of years. He told us that Saquon Barkley was a transcendent talent. And maybe he is, but you're not getting transcendent productivity from him. You don't see him say, man,
You're not putting him in a position to succeed or make you look smart because your offensive line is trash.
Tell me this. You take Alvin Kamara, you taking Saquon Barkley. You taking Ezekiel Elliott, you taking Saquon Barkley. You taking McCaffrey, you taking Saquon Barkley.
But let me flip that. Taking Derrick Henry.
No, what I'm saying is productivity.
I understand productivity. I can flip that though and say if you put Saquon on the Cowboys, would he do the same thing?
If you put Saquon on the Saints, would he do the same thing? Let's talk about the Chiefs, would he do the same thing? Let's talk about the Panthers then because I think if you put him on the Panthers, he's not doing what McCaffrey's doing. Name me some great offensive linemen on the Carolina Panthers.
I cannot. Yeah.
Exactly. So the point is, whether you're using them wrong or wasting his talent, you're not getting the productivity for what you sold him to us as. And guess what? You're going to have to make a decision at the end of the season because he's going to want $15 million a year. So are you giving Saquon Barkley the 15? Just like we got to make Sam Darnold coming up.
No question.
You got to make a same decision, $15 to $16 million about Saquon Barkley, and he gave you 0.4 yards per carry. Let's not run around. Let's run straight downhill. And so you can add up some of them rushing yards like the great Frank Gore we're going to have on. He can tell you about that smoke.
If you missed the Bart Scott, Frank Gore, just back and forth at some point in that previous segment, we did put out the podcast of it.
Well, if you took anything from it, you should know that the modern-day linebacker, because he's been around them all, are dumb in comparison to the ones he just had to face.
He immediately, some players would be a little careful about it. They'd be like, let you say it. Like, he jumped right in with you, like, oh, man, they think all you need is speed today. All you need is speed today. They don't understand. Like, listen, like it's amazing how he completely agreed with you.
I watched Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees get away with the same Jedi mind trick that they attempted to do when they were 20. Because these dumb linebackers, they don't understand the depth of a line. They don't understand the depth of the running back. They don't understand the split of the lineman. They ain't looking at none of that. They looking directly at the running back. They don't understand splits. These dudes getting hit in the back of the head. They getting picked on pick routes. Like, okay, if you got an offset back, and then you have a receiver that's in a cut split, he picking you, dummy. Like, the receiver's going to run a slant, and the guy's going to run a wheel route.
But you're seeing the game. In such a unique way, like even what you're describing, there's a lot of listeners who they like. A lot of us can't even keep up with what you're saying. You are at a different level mentally,
but
and that's why
you were
so good.
You should know that, but you got to understand.
Well, you're right. Well, you and Frank both agreed that players today rely much more on skill set than they do on study. But the ones that last the longest are the ones that have both.
Listen, the Keekleys of the world, the kid out in Seattle. I always forget his name. Like, they're far and few in between. It ain't that many of them out there, man. Bobby Wagner. It's not that many of them out there, man. And you be looking like, dude, you so dumb. We looking like, this dude is so stupid. Like, why are you disguising yourself outside your coverage? You sitting up here trying to bluff like you blitzing. Ain't no safety walked up. So the quarterback looking like, look at this dummy. Let me hurry and run a quick let me take the guy that he checking and swing it to him real quick because his dumb butt can't even get out.
And that's got to be why you can have Drew Brees at 41 and Tom
that's
Brady at 40.
That's what I'm saying. They should be dead. They should be dead. If they played when I was young, he would be in a body bag.
Ben Roethlisberger physically, like, you know, he still can throw and he still can think the game. But physically,
with duct tape.
If you look at him, you're like, how is he even still a starting quarterback in this league? I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, there's just older guys who are smart.
Dead.
And they can control the game. If you missed that interview with Frank Gore, everybody's talking about it. It was fantastic. It was in the first hour of the show. The podcast is up already. Bart and Hunt on Twitter. Just hearing Bart and Frank Gore, who are basically, you guys are 3 years apart in age, by the way.
I know.
But hearing you two, old men yelling at the cloud, was awesome. How you guys are breaking down football today and players who don't do their homework and rely on talent. It was so good. It really was. But his also inside on Adam Gase was good as well. He knows
Frank
him really well.
He's felt the hit stick. You know what I mean? So, like, you got players that, like, you know, like, okay, man, this dude tough. You know what I'm saying? And then you got the ones that the fans think. You know, any one of my former opponents can tell you how I brought that hit stick. Night.
No, you could tell when we interview people the respect level from NFL players when they come on the show and talk with you. Pretty clear when people know what you were about, and it was not just about physicality; it was also about the mental part of the game. All right, well, there's other parts of sports world that we haven't gotten to because this show just goes too damn fast, so we try to cram in other headlines and what we like to call audio files.
The audio file.
All right, Bart, so the big news yesterday, as we've just gotten closer and closer to this, Steve Cohen yesterday reached an agreement in principle to purchase the Mets. As the Mets announced that, it will not be an official ownership transfer. And by the way, 95% of the team he will own. Almost pretty much all of it at that point, which is what you want. He will take it. Now, that in November, when they have their owners' meeting, they will have that the vote. It is expected that, of course, he will be approved as owner. Rob Manfred, who is at Hofstra University on Long Island, via their YouTube channel, was asked about Steve Cohen and the Mets, and this was his answer.
We think about all of our teams equally. You know, it's like your children. You love them all 30 of them. Having said that, you know, major markets generally have an outsized effect on the economics of the game. I think it's important for us to be strong in our major markets. I think that a change in ownership of the Mets is an opportunity to make that franchise as strong as it can possibly be. And I think over the long haul, that'll be something that'll be good for the game.
Now, again, as I stress here, if you're a Mets fan, this cannot be overlooked. You now have an owner that is the richest owner in your sport.
By how much?
By $10 $10,000 to the next one.
$10,000, that ain't nothing, man. $10,000, they ain't. Oh, you said $10 billion.
Billion. Yeah, with a B.
But billion? So, like, he doubled it? So, like, he's circling a couple owners?
Yeah, you could put, I think.
He lapped a couple.
Dodgers, Nationals, and I cannot think. There's a third owner. Oh, maybe even the Yankees. You put those three together, and they just make up what his value.
Let's go, Lindor. Let's go, Lindor.
So, you have a chance now. No, this is legit now. I'm not even trying to joke around. The Mets now, and you don't know how he's going to run things, but if you know about his background as somebody in the world of business, in the world of finance, he is pretty ruthless.
He's Walmart.
He is somebody that is not
Walmart,
someone that is afraid
to is Kmart.
Bend the rules.
Okay.
So this is someone that you imagine, like that. And he's a Mets fan. He's already been part of ownership, so he has already that vested emotional interest in this franchise. You have the reason to believe that he will blow out the payroll and do what it takes to win.
Stroman messed up.
When was the last time you could say that about the Mets? That they were all in and willing to spend whatever it takes to win?
Never.
Cut no corners. Something that I know. There's a reason to feel excited about this because it's been the one knock on the Mets. They've been very good at finding pitchers. They've always had a way of finding pitching. But they've never been able to fill the whole thing out properly. And then when they do have a good player, they never seem to have the way to keep that player.
Right.
Then there's other players that they give money to, and you're like, why the hell would you give him the money?
I want to be able to outbuy my mistakes. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I made a mistake. So what? Bye. Get out of here. We'll pay you to 2030. Don't worry about it. Just get the hell out of their building.
It's the other thing I've said about the Knicks. You have the ability to spend whatever it takes to get the best of your support staff, the best coaching, the best front office, the best analytics, the best facilities, the best of everything. You have that ability to do that. Steve Ballmer did that with the Clippers. The Clippers were a joke of a franchise for many years, and then they had an awful owner who was just embarrassed the league with his actions, and they had to get him out.
Yeah.
And then you bring in Steve Ballmer, and what he has done to that franchise is essentially just flipped it to a point where they are now one of the model franchises of the sport. And all he did was with money. And they had to go out and get players, but first you had to establish the fact that this was no longer going to be run, you know, like on a shoestring budget. You were going to do things high-end, high-level, where everybody wanted to be part of it. That's what Steve Cohen needs to do from the start with this Met organization. It's one thing to just throw money around and bring in top-notch players. It's another thing to establish that this is now a top-shelf organization that does everything high-class.
And I'm glad that Manfred straightened it up because he lost me at first. Like, oh, they're like your children.
He can't say that he cares about one more than the other, but it is significant because it's in a major market.
Listen, I know exactly what kid I'm going for first if they all jump in the pool and one they're going to. I know exactly the first one, the second one, and the one I can do without. So listen, don't front like that. Like, he knows exactly that. Yeah, he fixed it at the end. He fixed it at the end by saying, you know, listen, it's important that our major markets are strong. So at first I was going to say he's a liar, but now he fixed it. You know, Cohen, you know, happy. I know Stroman's probably upset that he messed this up because they won't get him any money now. Syndergaard said, yeah, baby, I ain't going nowhere.
Maybe.
I've been hanging out with Cohen all these years. We good.
Maybe he can take his place off the market now. Well, all right, speaking of, again, how the right kind of ownership can come in and change the image of a franchise without even spending a ton of money on players yet, that's the Islanders. John Ledecky and Scott Malkin have done a fantastic job since they've taken over there. And what did they do? They spent where it mattered most. On a great GM in Lou Lamoriello, who was named GM of the Year in the NHL. On a Stanley Cup winning head coach in Barry Trotz, who has yet another team in the Final Four as the Islanders play tonight. It's, you know, again, and I understand Islander fans, this is a nervous time right now. But still, that's what you have right now just based on an ownership that is willing to spend and invest. And, oh, by the way, a new arena coming in, which they've been waiting for at least 25 years. And they're going to have that. But they are playing a big game tonight in Game 5 as they face a 3-1 deficit now in the conference finals against the Lightning. And here's Barry Trotz on the mindset heading into Game 5.
It's all about focus. Just focus on we've done it all the way through the playoffs here. We focus on the moment. Focus on what you need to do. Focus on what your moment of execution has to be, your moment of that. And have fun doing it. I mean, there's 27 teams and 700 players that would love to be in this position. And you know, our guys have no quit. I know this team. They've given everything they have.
Now, the Islanders are in the Stanley Cup Finals. MSG Plus, complete live coverage before and after every game. And so tonight at 7:30, get ready for Game 5, Islander fans, against the Lightning. With the team that's been with you all season long, Shannon, Butchie, AJ, they'll preview the matchup on Islanders game night. Then right after Game 5, you can go back to MSG Plus for complete coverage, including in-depth analysis for player interviews. That's your team, your network. MSG Plus, your home for Islanders Stanley Cup playoff coverage before and after every game. The one game at a time, Montreal. That's all they can do right now. So into the NFL, Bart. All right, let's get your take on this. So should we go? I guess we have to go, right, Anthony? We have to go with Fangio first here, right? Because then Vrabel makes a comment. Oh, Vrabel first? All right, so here's Mike Vrabel. Now, remember, Gostkowski, who they were together in New England, he cannot make a kick.
He got the yips.
And yet, when it mattered most, because that's what this guy is all about, he does make the game-winning field goal in the end to win that second game of the doubleheader in Monday Night Football last night for the Titans. So here's Vrabel, if he had any doubts on Gostkowski.
Nope, and they did, obviously, because they weren't using their timeouts, and they were banking on him missing. And, you know, we all got to do our job. And again, it's not on just one player. You know, we'll get this stuff fixed. We got a lot of faith in our players. Excited to get out of here with a win. It's a tough place to play.
Now, you hear what he said. They did. So the Broncos had three timeouts. Vic Fangio just let the clock continue to run. And people were just staring blankly, like, what are you doing? Like, you got to buy yourself some time because 17 seconds are left now because you didn't use your timeouts. So, Vic Fangio, why did you not call a timeout?
Well, it was twofold there. One, their field goal kicker had obviously been having his problems. Oh. So I didn't want to extend the drive to where they could get closer, number one. And number two, you know, we would have used the timeout, but we got the running back out of bounds. We would have used the second timeout, but they threw an incompletion, you know, which would have given us one left when we got the ball back. So that was part of the thinking there.
All right, Bart. Explain to me, does this make any sense to you? Because when I heard Fangio explain this, I said, you know, I don't know football, clearly.
Well, he's saying that the clock stops on incompletion, so it wasn't an opportunity for them to use it there.
No,
the running back got out of bounds, so it wasn't an opportunity there. The guy had been struggling, so he had just bet on the guy who was going to continue to have a tough day.
It
was one of those things that you have to live for. You know, I mean, the dude missed, what, three? So listen,
four.
I've been around Vic. He actually was a member of the Ravens, so it's just one of those things. It's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, he looks like a genius if he misses the field goal. You know, he looks like, you know, he looks like a goat today because he, you know, Vrabel knew exactly why he was doing it. And apparently Gostkowski knew that as well. Now, you can say, you know, Vrabel can say you have all the faith you want. I bet you they have Adam Vinatieri, old buddy, over there next week. You know what I'm saying? The battle of the League of Old Men figuring out, because that you can't win with that. I mean, you think that you're going to go get the third most accurate kicker in NFL history. And he's going to come. Listen, when Bill Belichick gives up on you, it's usually for a reason. And when he's not giving away a good kicker, an all-time great kicker, unless he understands that he's broken. And this dude is broken. He got to go back to the horse whisperer or Vrabel's. You can't win. When you're going to play the way that Tennessee plays, you can't have a bad field goal kicker. When you're running the ball and playing a possession game where you may, you know, limit the possessions in the game because you're eating up so much clock running the ball, you can't have a horrible kicker. Obviously, you got to spend more money in a kicker than anything.
Gostkowski did miss three. Again, he the fourth one, though, went point. Through. 25-yarder, though, with 17 seconds to play, and the Titans escape with a 16-14 win last night on Monday Night Football.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, here we go. So apparently, our football, we did well. All right, Anthony said we made some money, a little cash. All right, that's good from yesterday. We're going back to the NBA, though, today. We got a doubleheader in the NBA today. So you have Clippers Nuggets, a Game 7, a huge Game 7 tonight. And then you'll also have the first game of the Eastern Conference Finals. That'll be the first game of the day at 6:30. That'll be Celtics and the Heat. So those are the teams we're picking from. Here's our lineup. The guard position will go Dragic, I believe in him. Lou Will, because it's a big game, and I think Lou Will's got to come up big off the bench. Paul George, once again, show up. It's Game 7. Tyler Hero's been really good for the Heat. Kawhi Leonard, again, star player, show up. Jay Crowder's been tough. You got Jason Tatum, It's a conference final. Show up. Marcus Morris, he's played well for the Clippers. And then Robert Williams at center for Boston, because it's going to be an interesting series, and Robert Williams also fits our budget. So that's what we're doing when it comes to that. Bar, quickly, I do want to get a call or two in, though, because we had some fun fighting with Giants fans. So Mike's in Virginia.
He's sitting
ahead, Mike.
on a park.
He's on for 88 minutes, too. What's happening, Mike?
Yeah, enjoying the show. Listen, man, I'm a big-time fan of you, Han. I've been a fan. You actually got me into Sports Talk Radio. You and Humpty, y'all were cracking me up a while ago. But I'll say this, right? Listen, the Giants had a terrible game last night. They had some bright points, but there's no reason to compare it to the Jets. The Jets, my thing, I'm a Rangers fan, too. I want to see New York teams prosper for once. I don't want to see no more of this. New York is running last, and Boston and L.A. and all the other places doing so well. I want to see.
God bless you for saying that, because I'd throw up if another Boston team does well, Mike. You're right, and that's a great call. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Boy, how many times have I said this too in New York? Now, I understand we have our rivalries in the city, and that's, you're supposed to have that. You plant your flag and you stick with it. But man, I mean. Again, I looked at L.A. I watched the Rams play in this stadium that is an absolute palace. And then the field looks nice at MetLife now. It's a new field, and that's kind of nice. But they showed, they did a panoramic of the stadium. Obviously, there's nobody in the stands. You're just looking at it like it's generic football stadium.
Great seats.
Like, that's the best we could do. It's New York City. That's the best we could do.
That's what Two Billy gets you. And then you see what Two Billy gets you in Dallas. It's like, man, what the hell?
No roof, so you're not going to have any events there. L.A.'s going to have an Olympics. They're going to have a Final Four. I mean, all these events are going to – again, what are we doing? It's New York, and that's the best we could do?
Look at Atlanta. Look at Hard Rock, and when they put $80 million into Hard Rock.
Man.
And look at what they did to the Dolphin Stadium. How great does that look now?
I'm telling you, Patriot Place, I've said this a million times. You go to Patriot Place, the stadium is very unique and very cool, and then everything attached to it is fantastic. Yep. Easy to get to. It's a cool place to hang, even when there's no game.
You know,
and then, of course, you got MetLife and whatever Xanadu is called today.
We need to take the part that goes by American Dream, make it a tunnel where you go underneath, but then build all the way over there and make American
more building,
Dream.
More spending.
Make American Dream part of the stadium, so we can say that's part of the stadium. So instead of Patriot Place, that can be like MetLife Palace.
I don't know. But baseball, real quick with baseball before we're done for the day. So the Yankees play the Blue Jays now, three games here, and it's three out of the seven games they're going to play against the Blue Jays before we're done here. These are big games. They're half game now back of Toronto for that second place in the AL East, and I think that's important just for the wild card standings and who you'll play and all that stuff. But it's also important to just kind of finish this season so we start feeling a bit better. Stanton Judge might be coming back fairly soon. Get healthy and get right. That's sort of where we are right now, Bart.
He got to do some damage, man. They got to come back and listen. This is a huge series for these guys. I don't know, where they are. The standings, if they lose, to the Toronto, if they lose Toronto.
I think they're pretty good when it comes to the playoffs. At this point, they've had enough of a push here, right, where they've gotten out Orioles. Of the panic stage. Gotcha. He has no Orioles, none of that stuff. But still, half game back in Toronto.
You still don't want Tampa first. I don't want them taking Tampa first out the gate.
Hell no. Nah. I mean, look, could they catch Tampa? Tampa's schedule to finish out Washington, Baltimore, Mets, and Phillies. So I don't know if Tampa would have to really have a fall off for you to get the division back. But just get some momentum. That's all we're looking for. All right, Bart, great job today, and I will see you tomorrow.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.